Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Two, one.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. We are on episode 30.
Correct.
It was 33.
Nope,
32. We are at 32. Episode 32. Kelly Mano here with my buddy Hoss.
What up?
And my producer Gary.
Hey-o.
And, you know, Hoss and I are still kind of on like this cloud nine. Because we kicked some rich people's ass last
night.
Woo!
We showed them uppity you know who's.
Let me say this. We did a trivia night in Ladue.
Right.
And we did make a lot of fun of the Ladue people and how fancy they were. But everyone there was very kind, correct?
If I had that much money, I'd be kind too.
So we've done trivia nights before because
right.
you and I and a kind of like a group of our friends or more your friends are kind
right.
of like trivia experts when it comes to music.
Yeah.
It's like we're the dream team.
Yeah, we really are. We kind of all have our little niche that we fill.
Like when they did the Frank Sinatra category, I went out in the lobby and played on my phone. I'm like,
nice.
You guys don't even need me.
Yeah.
But then they had the lyric category and I'm like a crazy.
Which is usually where it always falls apart for every team.
I got 45 out of 45 on
It was pretty easy this year.
It was. It was pretty easy. But so we roll in this trivia night in Ladue, and as Jimmy and I are pulling in the parking lot, it's like Range Rover, Range Rover, Beamer, Range Rover. And I'm like, what the hell kind of and then I see these ladies walking in and I thought maybe there was another event going on.
Nay.
Because they're in stilettos and like blazers and I'm in yoga pants and Hoss has got a bag of donuts and,
yep.
And then I get a text from Hoss from inside. I don't remember what it said.
It said people here hate us. Everyone's rolling in sports coats
yes.
and heels with sushi and cheese trays. And here's my buddy and I in a Blues jersey.
And a bag of donuts.
A Kevin Owens WWF shirt. A bag of donuts and a box of White Castles. North County, son.
And the funny thing is, we knew we were going to beat them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I posted on Facebook at 7 o'clock. Like, I'm like, here's our trivia team. We're about to beat 700 people. And we did.
Did anyone else think it was ironic that we're at a fundraiser for underprivileged children in the gym of maybe the most privileged school in St. Louis
yes.
County?
Yes. I will have to say, we were very concerned that people were going to start chanting, give it back.
Yeah.
You know, and
I would have started chanting something else at them.
Yes, and it would have been three syllables. I would have rode on your shoulders out of there, like, what was it, Mad Max or something? but we did, so we won trivia. We were awesome. We raised a lot of money for some kids or
not
something.
We didn't raise as much as the dude who stroked a check for 10 grand.
I missed that. How did I miss that?
It might have been during the Sinatra round. They said something like, oh, we'd like to thank Bob so-and-so if you'd stand up. You just donated $10,000. And I was like, God. Damn, are you adopting?
I couldn't even afford to play heads or tails because it was
$10.
No. I was like, shit, $10 for heads or tails?
Oh.
And it was a $30 buy-in just to play.
Yeah.
But, I mean, good for them. They put on a great event. And
no, they do a really good job every year. We've gone three of the last 4 years. The first year we went, we took second because we got hung up on the lyrics to Mustang Sally.
Ooh. Well, you know what? That last round, we started panicking.
Yeah.
Because we had been talking crap like all night long.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we were damn near standing on top of our table telling everybody how we were going to beat them.
And here's what you don't, here's the backstory that you don't know is 2 years ago, we won the event.
Yeah.
And then our friend who kind of assembles the team knew someone who either worked or interned or something at the foundation that was putting it on. It got back to him that they hated us.
Yes.
Because we were rowdy and rambunctious.
Right.
And like,
I noticed they put us in the very back of the room. Okay.
We don't really fit the mold of the other tables there.
No.
So as a protest, we took last year off.
Really?
And not my decision, but I would have been like,
that would
have
been,
let's go win again.
That would have been my reason to cut my hair in a mullet. And
yep.
Oh, yeah. I would have been in the flip-flops.
So, yeah. Like, so we came back this year, and not only did we win, like, we kicked their kicks in the mud.
Yes.
And beat them by like everybody by 9 points.
Usually I'm the only girl at the table for a lot of these music trivia nights, but there was another girl at the table.
Yep.
And we had my friend Gary, who doubles as nearly a girl, who is completely straight, by the way. You know that, right?
Yeah, he's awesome.
Isn't he? He's so fun. I told my husband, I'm like, I want to sit by Gary.
He was the same guy who was at the one we went to in Chesterfield.
Yes.
Correct?
The one that would like skip around the room whenever we had to turn in the paper.
Yes.
And stuff like that. But yeah, so it was nice to have another girl at the table last night. But
Kate's
yeah,
awesome.
Lot of fun. And then also, I know Haas over the weekend. First of all, if you could see inside Haas and I's texts, they're really funny. Like sometimes it's funnier than even like our show that we do.
Yeah.
And I text him frantically. I'm like, hey, we're going to talk about Fuller House this week, so you have to watch it on Netflix. And he's like, all right, I got a busy weekend, but I'll get it in. So Haas like crams in all these episodes of Fuller House.
Yeah, I made it through, I think, the first 4 or 5.
And then he comes in. He's like, Kelly, I made it through like 4 episodes. Is that enough? And I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot to watch it.
You did not miss much.
Right, exactly.
But is it...
Did you watch some?
Yes, I have. I've watched about 4 or 5 episodes myself.
Okay.
Well, is it cheesy in the way that the old Full House is?
100%.
Absolutely.
If you had told me that this show came out the year after the first show ended, I would have believed it.
Right.
It's TGIF humor all over again.
But, the girls look kind of hot, right?
Well, you know... Everyone is making a comment that, you know, it's not really reunion because the Olsen twins aren't there. They do make a very quick, subtle, not so subtle nod to the fact that she's not there.
I heard they like broke the fourth wall.
They do. They break the fourth wall. So everyone's upset that the Olsen twins aren't there, but they've been replaced because the Sweeten twins are... The breakout stars.
Wait. The Sweeten twins. You mean the boys that were Uncle Jesse's?
No. I mean the twins that are attached to the front of Stephanie Tanner's chest.
The meth head. She cleaned up, didn't she?
Yeah, she bought herself some new boobies.
Ooh.
Yes.
Are they nice?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's not even...
I'm surprised Full House shows cleavage.
Oh, and then some.
Okay.
Like, for the first episode, it's... Like, it's not obscene, but they are out.
Okay.
Yeah, the dress for the
dance party scene. Yeah, like they're out.
Wow, I gotta watch this.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. They've all aged extraordinarily well.
She is really pretty because she was in the news a couple of years ago with bad stuff. I think her kids were getting taken away, and so if she legitimately cleaned up, then that's awesome.
The 4 things I will take away is that the first episode was 7 years of Full House crammed into a half hour. Every joke.
But did it get better?
That brings me to point 2.
Okay.
Candace Cameron can't act her way out of a paper bag.
Well, she really couldn't when she was
younger.
Either.
And it hasn't gotten better.
Did she grow up and marry Steve?
They don't say. She has kids, but unless I missed it, there's no mention of the dad.
Well, no. The whole premise of the story is she is now a widower.
Okay, so did Steve die?
No, Steve is in the second episode.
So she didn't marry him.
Right.
Yeah.
So that family's got some shitty luck.
Yes.
Right.
Her
husband was a firefighter.
Yeah.
Okay.
The third thing is the actress who played Kimmy Gibbler has not aged since 1991. It's like they put her in like a freeze-dried chamber and just brought her back out.
She was the one that I was kind of worried about bringing on because a young Kimmy Gibbler was funny, but like I don't want to see a grown-up Urkel.
Yeah, it's grown-up Kimmy Gibbler.
I don't think I want to see a grown-up Kimmy Gibbler. But...
And then the fourth is, of all the cameo appearances, Macy Gray. Makes
what?
An appearance, and is not
wait
only
a minute.
Appearance,
Full House does not have black people on it. Why is Macy Gray on there?
Not only there, but pimping her new album.
Right.
No.
And then at the end of the episode says, "Why am I here? I won a Grammy." And I went, "That's exactly what I said to my TV when you walked on."
Why would they have Macy Gray on? Like, I cannot think of one black character on Full House.
No, you would think that San Francisco was completely white if you watched.
I can think
Full
of
House.
One.
You can?
Trivia.
Yeah.
One of Michelle's very good friends when they were little kids in preschool was Taj Mowry.
Okay.
Oh.
I mean, even Bunky Brewster had Cherry back in the day,
right.
You know?
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
So it's, you know, what I've gathered is that the kids, like, again, I don't have kids, but our generation's kids are loving this. So I'm thinking that it's maybe
my kids
just
love it.
The younger generation is going to love it the way we love the original Full House.
Speaking of my kids, one of our children embarrassed us to death in church over the weekend. I've got an amazing story for you guys. We also have a big controversy going on over the Sports Illustrated swimsuit covers this year. So we will talk Ronda about. Rousey. Yeah, she looks hot. Oh, wait. Awesome. We'll talk about all that more. We'll be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by JM Motors in Granite City, Illinois, serving Granite City for over 45 years now. If you go visit JM Motors and mention the Kelly Mano Show and you buy a car, you're going to get a free $50 gas card to go with it. If you check out the JM Motors Facebook page, they always have their most recent inventory. I also know that one of the owners, Heather, I follow her on Instagram, and she did not ask me to plug this, but her Instagram is adorable, and she's always showing some new cars. It's Your GC Car Sales Lady on Instagram, and Heather's a ton of fun to follow. If you are in the market for a pre-owned car, check out JM Motors at 2310 Namioki Road in Granite City, Illinois, just 10 minutes from the Arch. They've been with the Kelly Mano Show from the beginning. They can get you in a car for as low as $58 a week. So if you go visit them, please let them know I sent you. Thank you, JM Motors.
Big
You are listening to the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast, Little Hoochie Mama.
Yeah.
I love it. God,
so good.
The edited versions of those are painful to me for me to listen to. But I know kids listen, and I can't play the N-word. I cannot do it. I will not do it. So, you know, we have this rule with my kids' school when I started this show.
Okay.
That we don't talk about the school on the radio show.
Sure.
Okay? But They go to a Catholic school, and nobody said I couldn't talk about the church, right?
It's fair.
Yeah. So the Manos, the Mano kiddos go to this. Gary, what are you doing over there with that microphone? The Manos go to this awesome little Catholic school.
Okay.
And we love the school. We love the church. And Lucy is in second grade, which is a big year for Catholic kiddos. I don't know if you were raised Catholic or not.
I was not.
Jimmy, you might want to come in here for this. So when you're in second grade, two big things happen. One is your first Holy Reconciliation, and the other is your first communion.
Okay.
So your first Holy Reconciliation is essentially your first confession. You learn how to confess to a priest,
okay.
Which is when you go in the little box and you say, right. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned, and you tell him the things that you did wrong, and he gives you a penance, which is like, go say five Hail Marys, and you move on.
So you have to throw a football really far, yeah, five times?
Yeah, she has
times?
To throw a Hail Mary five times in the end zone. Yes.
And so we go to Lucy's first Holy Reconciliation, and it's kind of nerve-wracking for kids because they don't want to tell a priest things that they did bad. The thing is that Lucy is a really, really good kid. She's only done like a couple things wrong ever.
Right.
And so she remembers them. And so, you know, it starts with, you know, we're on the way to, you know, first reconciliation. I'm like, well, what are you going to confess? And she's like, well, you know, I got to tell him that I twerked and said shit. And I'm like, I almost ran off
Correct.
The road. And I said, first of all, because one time, like a year ago, she was watching some video and trying to imitate it. And she was doing an inappropriate little dance in her bedroom.
Sure.
And she got in big trouble for it. And I said, you can't ever dance like that. It's inappropriate. So she knows what twerking is,
right?
You know, and she knows she got in trouble for it. And then one time she was also trying to say something else and accidentally said the SH word and like erupted into tears because she's such a good kid.
So what are you accidentally trying to say that comes out as that?
She was trying to say what another kid was saying, but she didn't want to repeat the word. She tried to gloss over the word and accidentally said it.
So she, her self-editing tool wasn't working that
exactly.
Day. Okay.
And so she was trying to come up with a third one.
Right.
And the first thing I said, Lucy and
do
I
you
had,
have to do three?
Well, I don't know, but the first thing that I had to do was have a real discussion with her about the fact that she could not tell, you know, Father Tom that she was twerking. I'm like, number one,
he's not going to know what it is.
Number two, I don't want you explaining it to him.
Right.
And really, is twerking a sin?
I mean, if you're 7 or 8
so
years old.
So for first reconciliation, is it like regular confession where they don't see you and you don't see them? Or is it like face to face?
It's up to you, but Lucy went in there's like a screen.
Okay.
But you know the voices. We got a text on the way there. Like, Julie Z was like, Joey's plan is to not get behind the Mano kid because they're going to be in there a while. I'm like,
awesome.
Screw you. It's our good kid going in the night.
That's right.
And so then I'm like, Lucy, I'm like, just tell the priest that you were like mean to your brother and sister or that you lied to your mom and dad. She's like, but I didn't and I don't. And, you know, sweet, sweet little Lucy.
Lucy, lie to God and tell him that you lied to your mom and your brother.
Do not tell our priest that you twerked because I don't want you to then have to explain to him. So we get there for First Holy Reconciliation and they all make these little, it looks like gingerbread cutout men
okay.
with a sad face on one side and a happy face on the other because they walk in sad. They confess their sin.
Oh,
and then
is that what you guys were making?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. With like the emojis and all that?
Yes.
Okay.
So you walk into church and it's lined with all these little sad gingerbread men hanging on this front pew. And you're assigned a pew. And so St. Ferdinand is a big church. There's a lot of pews.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm walking. And I'm walking. I'm like, Mano, 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 where's our pew? Where's our pew? And I'm getting closer and closer and closer to the front.
Oh, no.
And we stop in the front pew.
Sweet.
The Manos have been assigned to the front pew for First Holy Reconciliation. First Holy Reconciliation is about 2.5 hours long. Because after your
and
little...
And you can't leave early, can you?
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, I got mad at Jimmy because he was on Facebook. I'm like, Jesus is watching you.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, we're texting other people in the church to pass time and stuff like this. Here's the deal.
That's when you need the NHL package. Pull it up on the mobile.
They do a message. They do a couple songs, homily, all this stuff. Everything is cool. But then when they get to the actual confession part.
So it's like a full mass.
Kind of, sort of. There's some, like, they don't do communion. But as far as the confession goes... Is that our confessional
music?
Ice
cream man?
All right, thanks.
This is the song that was playing whenever I get to what we're going to talk about next.
So the whole deal is every kid is confessing, but then they give the option to the parents to confess, which is great because it shows the parents are kind of in unity and teaching their kids a good example of how what it means to grow up and confess.
No, I confessed at Rocky's Good Confession. I tried to be a good parent.
You did. And
the second one, I'm like, why are these parents still lining up?
Oh, my gosh. Like, it took 2 hours to get through all of them.
No, keep in mind.
This is my nightmare.
Our kid went first. So we are sitting there in the front pew. The priest comes and sits with us. And I'm like, oh, this is a mistake. So... Oh, we're literally sitting in the front pew of a very quiet Catholic church.
Sweet.
Okay? And there is a church organist playing church music.
Right.
And How Beautiful was one of the songs it was on. We are doing anything at this point to pass the time. Okay? And the church is silent. Just this, the How Beautiful, the church music in the background. So Lucy starts imitating the pianist. And so she's leaning forward, and she's playing the piano on the little ledge in front of her, and she's got her eyes closed like Stevie Wonder.
Well, she's actually making really funny. She's making the face John Mayer makes when he plays guitar.
Right.
She's making these faces like she's really into playing this piano part.
So so there's Lucy. She's got an audience, and we're watching her.
We're cracking up. It's funny watching her do it.
And then all of a sudden, in the front row of the church, she leans to the side.
No.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Hey, Kelly, turn the volume up on that because I think that it was much louder than that.
Something like...
No.
Yeah.
Except it wasn't a long one like that. It was a quick, in and out. And, like, I looked over and I said, did that come out of your mouth or your butt? And that is not a question you ever want to ask a kid in church.
Yeah.
Because I thought, did you do that with your mouth or did that come out of your butt?
We knew.
Oh, she had to be mortified.
You know what? You can't phase that girl.
And she started laughing. And the funniest part was that so she rips the fart and then we lose it. We lose it in a way where we can't get it back together.
15 minutes.
All five Manos are dying.
Oh, wow.
And only like the 10 pews around us heard the fart. The 20 in the back are like, why are the Manos falling over in the pew? And then the guy behind
Are you guys the black sheep of the church?
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt. But, I mean, we also have a lot of really good friends
and
there.
And telling the story is not going to help.
Okay.
No. But I don't think it violates anything that we, you know, that we can talk about farting in church.
Yeah, I agree.
Nice.
So after the fart, you know, the guy behind us, he was as bored as we were. Like, we were cracking jokes with him all night. He leans forward. He goes, honey, I think you're going to have to go get in line again.
Yeah, you got more to confess. I'll tell you what, though. The funniest part to me, now keep in mind, this is a very silent church. when she rips it, she's ripping it off a hardwood pew. And
and the acoustics in the church are great.
I know. So it was very full sound. Yeah. Like Kelly said, probably 10 rows around us heard it. Everyone was looking. A lot of people were laughing. I think there was a couple not so amused. Sure. But whatever. But we lose it. We are cracking up hysterically. I mean, crying. Rocky's in tears. I'm in tears. And Lucy, God bless her comedy timing. Yes. It was awesome. We all get it together. And then we look at Lucy, and she deadpans. She puts her hands together. She says, "Forgive me, Father, for I have farted." And then immediately we all lose it again.
No.
It was classic.
The part that we forgot to say was that when she ripped her fart on cue, two of the little gingerbread people dropped dead. Yeah. They fell off the ledge.
Man down!
And Rocky goes, "Man down!" And then, like, there was no keeping it together. And then,
oh, that tops my stories.
It does. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a Mano shit show.
Yeah, literally.
It literally almost was.
My mom loved to tell the story about the first three times I tried to take communion at church.
Oh. Because
the first time, I think I was 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And I made it halfway down the aisle, just like ate shit on my like shoelace. And just like laid out for 5 minutes on the ground and like didn't get up. So she's like, "All right, we'll wait till next year." Yeah. The next year I get up there. I make it to the rail this time. I kneel down and I get
in lightning strikes.
And I get the wafer and I look at the guy. I lean over the rail, look down at my parents, and I go, "I'm going to save my cookie for my juice." And they were like, "All right, nope, we're going to cut him off again." So the next year, they're like, "All right, he's like 6 now. He's got it together. We can go." Go down there, make it down the aisle, get everything together, get the waiver, get my thing of juice, start choking. Like, I just swallowed it wrong, like, to the point where like, some random guy next to me had to like, start patting me on the back. She was like, "Either you are the Antichrist and they're sending you signs that you're not supposed to take communion, or you are the most jinxed child in the history of the Methodist Church."
Oh, okay. So that, all right, that's all I needed for, honey, was to you know, verify how funny our story was.
That was like the most fun we've had in church ever.
You know, because we don't go.
There's that.
Oh, but there's something else that I want to talk about. Is Jody still here?
Yep.
My friend Jody is here. She actually stopped by for Piggy Small's first birthday.
Awesome day.
And so I'm like, "Hey, can you stay? Because, Hoss, you didn't hear about this. And, Jimmy, I don't mind if you stay in. I don't even mind if Josh comes in here. Because the thing with this show is that I want honest opinions.
Okay.
Don't ever give me the answer you think I want to hear. And don't ever be PC because you think you're going to get hate mail.
Sure.
You know, because welcome to my life. So Sports Illustrated has their swimsuit cover every year, right?
Yes.
And so this year they did something different. They had 3 covers.
Yes.
And they featured 3 very different body types.
Yep.
One was Ronda Rousey, the UFC fighter. Is
yes.
that or MMA? What's it called?
UFC. Same thing.
Same thing. And she had on a painted suit. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
And she looked fabulous. She has a very muscular body.
Yeah, she's awesome. But you know what? She is muscular, but she's not like bodybuilder muscular.
No, it's,
she's still very feminine.
Somebody actually edited her arms recently, and she threw a fit.
Yeah.
She's like, don't
that
ever.
That girl does not need to be edited in any way,
like,
shape, or form.
She's like, don't touch my arms. Okay, so then we had some other skinny girl. I don't know.
Some typical SI
right, and so then they had a plus size model
who's gorgeous, by the way.
Okay, so I'm gonna
looks amazing.
I'm gonna show you guys the cover.
Yeah,
And you guys pass it around and just give me your honest opinion.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
I mean, the first time I looked at it, it kind of shocked me because it's not what you're used to seeing on Sports Illustrated.
But you know what? I think
it
that
took me back a second.
This is the PC answer, but it's my honest opinion, too, is it's about time that Sports Illustrated starts having real women on the covers of the swimsuit issue.
Well,
because that is what you're going to see at your local pool a lot more than the others.
What? Pardon me one second. You're not going to really see that because she's a lot more attractive than what you would typically see. She's still clearly a model.
Just saying as far as the fact that she's obviously got some junk in the trunk.
Either.
Like, she's not a size 2.
And you can't even really
She's at a very flattering angle.
Oh, she's at a very flattering angle. Is. Basically, all you see is boobs, because you can't really, you're not seeing like belly hanging over waistline.
No.
But I'm sure that's the case if you had if you were looking from underneath.
I mean, I'm looking at her now. I think she looks absolutely gorgeous.
Do we know how much, if any, retouching was done on that photo?
I was wondering the same thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully not a lot. And I would not even consider her.
I saw her and the other model on Colbert 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and she's gorgeous just on TV.
I follow her on Instagram,
yeah,
and so I was looking at a lot of her pictures, and she is a model. She does a lot of it's not Lane Bryant, but
I know what you're talking
about. Torrid or
no, she models bras and underwears for another company.
Oh, like a bigger size.
Yeah. Her own company. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Nice.
Well,
and so this is a very good angle of her, but she's a size 16.
Mm-hmm. And she has amazing eyes.
But she's not a typical size 16 either.
No.
Size 16, she has a flat stomach. I mean, right. even though she has, you know, it's not a six pack. I mean, it's a flat stomach, and I would say not typically size 16.
Don't
women
always look
don't
like this
a, no.
in a bikini. She looks amazing, and I assumed some guys don't like heavier girls. That's fine. You know, whatever you like is fine. But so I was frustrated because Cheryl Teagues came out. Who was Cheryl Teagues? She's a former model, right? Mm-hmm. She's
yeah.
old, like 60s.
She was a swimsuit cover model.
She was okay. So she was a former cover model. She said, Cheryl Teagues said, "I don't like that we're talking about full figured women because it's glamorizing them. Because your waist should be smaller than 35 inches," is what she said. That's what Dr. Oz said, and I'm sticking to it, honey. If you are getting your medical advice from Dr. Oz, you've got
right.
bigger things to
right.
worry about. Second of all, the problem that I have with what Cheryl says is that just because you're skinny doesn't mean you're healthy.
I agree.
I know some skinny girls that I can run laps around that I would take in a backyard fight tomorrow.
Yep.
Because just because you're skinny does not mean you're healthy.
No.
But do you guys, I mean, I get what Cheryl's saying, that I don't think obesity
Correct.
Should be glamorized.
But I don't think that's what Sports Illustrated is doing
but
either.
Does anybody think that this girl is obese?
No,
I mean, look.
No, I don't.
Not at all.
Let's just go crude and be guys for a minute. I'd hit it.
Okay.
Like, I mean, let's.
Mm-hmm. Gary?
All day long, twice on Sunday.
If we're.
All day long, twice on Sunday. Honey?
And that's
oh,
what,
God, I only hit my wife.
And that's what that, I mean, you know, that they can say that it's whatever on Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, but that's what that Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue is hot chicks for guys to be like, I'd hit that. I would not kick that woman out of bed.
No, but this is not unhealthy.
No,
not at all.
Is she heavier? Yeah, sure. She's heavy. I mean, I don't even know if I'm going to say heavy set.
I was going to say, I wouldn't say she's heavy. Like, she's bigger compared to the other models. Yeah, but it's not like you're looking at Jabba the Hutt in a bikini.
No.
Like, she's a regular sized woman.
I know plenty of women who are like a size 12, 14, 16 who are completely healthy. And the idea that if you're a size 16 means that you can't be healthy is just bull crap.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cheryl Teagues was probably one of those chicks shoving her finger down her throat 20 years ago, you
yeah.
know?
And she is the opposite of this picture.
Cheryl Teagues is like a stick, right?
She's
right.
stick, no boobs.
Still.
There's nothing
yeah.
there. Yeah.
To this day, she's still that big.
I just can't believe after all this time that Cheryl Teagues would come out and even say anything like that.
Well, I think...
Does she have a book coming out or something?
Probably.
I think she was just interviewed like by...
Hey, you need a microphone.
I thought she was just interviewed like outside of an event. Someone just like
right.
threw the question to her. So I don't think she was doing an interview to promote anything as just as much as she was at the Grammys or somewhere.
Well, it came out of her mouth. Yeah. I don't like that we're talking about full-figured women and glamorizing them because your waist should be smaller than 35 inches. F you, Cheryl T.
Yeah, here's I think I know the point she was trying to make, but that the way she phrased it is very bad.
And here's the best part. Ashley Graham's waist size is a size 30.
Is it really?
Yep.
How do you know that, pervert?
Called research.
Oh, did you research?
I'm a radio show producer. Okay?
Do you like when I give you research that says, hey,
right.
I need you to look up all the Sports Illustrated swimsuit models?
Right.
So okay, well, Jody, thank you for hanging out with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Because I wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy. Because again, I don't want to glamorize obesity. This is not obesity.
Not at all.
This is normal, healthy.
Absolutely. That's just a curvy woman.
Boobies, little belly, a big old butt. I would take that butt if she would just donate half of that butt to me. That would be awesome.
Hey, while we're talking about women.
My butt.
Right. While we're talking about women in various stages of not a lot on, can we talk about the national disaster that was nearly this week, but we've discovered is not
oh
real.
Oh, my God. So I talked earlier about text. Hoss and I and our text and how funny it is. I get this like frantic text from Hoss. You'd think that someone's dying. I'm like, what's the matter? He's like, I think Britney Spears got a stomach tattoo.
Yeah, and it was awful.
I'm like, calm down. He's like, have you seen the new video? I'm like, let me check because I follow her on Instagram.
Yep, that's where it was.
So I went on Instagram and it was like, she didn't make a video, but she's got a new song out.
Right.
And you would have thought the world was ending.
Big old stomach tattoo and thigh tattoo, and I was like, "This is horse shit."
Are you still going? Are you still going to Vegas then and applying for that job?
Oh yeah. Well, hey, it's fake, so sure.
He was like hyperventilating. I had to stop everything. I'm like, stop cooking dinner, kids. Well, stop fighting.
Let me put it this way: it would be like if someone went to the Statue of David and just like spray painted it and ruined this perfect work of art.
That's what he said. He's like, you got to find out if this is real or not. I'm like, Hoss, I don't think it's real. You know, he's like, but it's so good. And it looks.
2 days later, we found out it was fake. And I'm like, everything is right in the world again.
Okay. That is my life on the weekends. I think sometimes the things that happen off the show are as funny they happen on. We are going to be coming back. We have a guest here. Our guest who is on his way. Is he here yet? If not, there's plenty of other crap we can talk about.
Who's shocked that the weed guy's late?
Not me. Who wants to guess if he's going to be stoned or not?
Do you think he's going to
be wearing like
that.
A Grateful Dead shirt?
And has dreads.
Yeah, we'll see. We are going to be right back with a...
Will he be burning incense in his hand as he walks in?
No, but I have children here. We should get the pig high. We'll be right back. It's
nice.
The Kelly Mano Show.
Happy birthday.
The Kelly Mano Show. The princess of the 90s is now the queen of the minivan carpool. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is brought to you by Rachel Witt at Remax. I am so jealous of Rachel because she's in Vegas right now and we are here. But when you are a big shot in the real estate business, they take you places. Rachel Witt has been in the business for 13 years. She has 6 people who work under her. She's got an entire team of people that will help you if you are buying or selling a home. Let's face it, a lot of people are upside down on their homes and it's not their fault, including us. You know, you buy your house at a bad time and the market flips and there's not a whole lot you can do. She has walked us through all of this. We did not think that there was a way out. And with Rachel Witt, we have seen the light. If you are selling your home, she doesn't just do photos. She does amazing videos. Call the Rachel Witt team today. Her number is 636-720-3836. Her website is homesalesinstcharles.com. Make sure you tell her Kelly Mano sent you. Thank you, Rachel Witt with REMAX.
Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
I'm serious, dude. What do y'all think about today? Hey, baby, get some bubble gum in this. I'm toast. All right, baby, get some pizza on there. Study long, study wrong.
You are listening to the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. We have a guest in the studio. Everybody, welcome Darren Miller to the show.
Yay! Thank you.
So, Darren, first of all, I hear that you are from Granite City.
Yes, born and raised.
And so did you go to school there?
Yes, your typical junior high school, Granite City High.
So can you finish this sentence? Jahi, Jahai.
Jaho?
Jaho-ho-ho. So right. Close.
What was that, by the way?
That was the school song. Jahi, Jahai, Jaho. Were you like a smoker out in the back?
Yeah,
you weren't
we
on the
smoking areas.
I thought that was the opening to Laverne and Shirley.
Was it?
Something like that.
I think it's pretty close. So so my name is Kelly Mano. It's so nice to meet you. This is Hoss, my co-host.
Hello.
Producer Gary. So I saw an article about you in the paper recently. What paper was it? Was it the St. Louis Post-Dispatch or was it the...
Well, KMOX put me on the radio not too long ago, but
nice.
A lot of the internet sites have picked up and run my story, dozens of them.
Sure. So tell me a little bit about yourself. How old are you?
I am 50 years old.
And what about your family? Married, kids?
Married, 3 kids, yes.
Married, nice. You have 3 kids.
Yeah, 11, 21, 28.
11, 21, and 28. So Tell us about, was it your 50th birthday that you were actually diagnosed? Tell me about your 50th birthday.
First of all, you were alluding earlier to the smoking area at the high school.
Yes.
I was actually out at the park preparing myself for what would happen when I was 50. I was trying to figure out how to get this medicine, but this was a long time ago.
That question is definitely coming later.
Yeah, you do know about where we went out to the park when we were in high school.
Yes, yes, yes.
There was a lot of Pink Floyd playing.
So it's your 50th birthday. You're married with three kids.
Well, there was a time before my birthday, 4 days before, is when I actually had the diagnosis because of had to be hospitalized. But 2 months before I was diagnosed, my hands and feet had cracked open like I had athlete's feet and hands. It was just the weirdest thing. They were cracking and bleeding.
Like a dry skin
thing. Yeah, it was worse. It was really bad, like your heels do when you're in high school.
Sure.
Sure.
From all the sports and and all the wetness and stuff.
Right,
anyway,
right.
So this went on for months, and I didn't know what it was. And then, of course, when I got diagnosed with the cancer, we knew why my body was in failure. But it was July the 26th. I was on my front porch, and my chest had filled up, and I was just feeling bloated, gained like 7-8 pounds in just a couple of days. And
wow.
I told the wife, and she said, no, that's not right. So we went to the hospital, and they found out I was in congenital heart failure.
Now, are you like a lot of men your age, and especially men from certain areas of town, the hardcore Midwest men, it's hard to get you guys to go to the doctor. Were you apprehensive at first?
Well, I gained 8 pounds in 2 days, told the wife, and I had chest pressure. And
right.
I said, I'm going to go lay down for a minute. She goes, no, you need to go to the hospital. So I went and laid down and slept a couple hours, got up feeling even worse. And that's when we went to the hospital, and we found out if I'd have stayed in bed, the doctor said that I would have passed from a heart failure because my pericardium had filled full of blood and was causing my heart to have pressure on it and stop beating. And it was because I was sick.
So initially, did you think it was just a heart problem and then they dug further and found the cancer? Or did they know immediately it was all tied together?
Well, I was a heavy smoker, 2 packs a day for about 25 years. So I knew, I told my wife, I don't want to go to the hospital. They're going to tell me I got cancer or something.
Yeah.
And I just, mm-hmm. I knew, you know, because I had a cough the last few days before that. And it was just something inside, you know, when something's really wrong, it's really wrong. I felt it.
Wow.
I wasn't diagnosing myself, but I knew right away I just didn't want to go because I didn't want to have the worst of worst be told to me.
What type of cancer were you diagnosed with?
Okay, I'll throw out the technical term first. It was called a stage 4A lung with pericardial effusion.
Okay.
That means was I had tumor in my left lung, which had metastasized out and grabbed a hold of the pericardium and caused my heart sac to be cancerous also, which is stage 4, inoperable, and no radiation. All they can do is give you palliative care, chemotherapy to extend your life.
Okay.
So they basically said,
this is it.
This is it. Get comfortable. The end is coming.
Yeah, well, me and the wife sitting there, and it's just so surreal to ask the doctor, is there anything we can do? And he says, well, with this diagnosis, I'm going to give you a time limit. So we went to Dr. Google right away, and
right.
you can get the statistics, 4%.
What?
That's pretty bad, you know.
What hospital were you at? Where were you? Who was giving you this? Was it Barnes?
Started at Granite City Hospital, Gateway.
Sure.
They did the drain. Actually, while I was awake, they drained 850 milliliters of fluid out of my chest.
I don't think I could be awake for that. Like, I'm not afraid of blood, but I think if you stuck me and just random fluids just started coming out, I don't know if I can handle that.
They laid me on my side, and they poked a big tube through the middle of my chest, and they pushed on my chest for about a minute and a half and filled up a huge bag full of blood, and it was crazy.
So
then I went to Christian Northeast as a transfer on July 31st, my 50th birthday, for an open heart surgery, which is what they did at what's called a pericardial window.
Happy birthday.
So they tell you, you know, Darren, you have terminal cancer. It's inoperable. We can extend your life a little bit, but you're never going to be healed. What month and year was that?
Well, that was the exact day. I got paper, you know, papers that I have on my website or Facebook that show this. It was a... They said it was stage 4A, that I had 6 months to live.
And that was when?
That was on July 31st.
Of 2015?
Yes, I was diagnosed in
2014.
2015, to 7 months ago. 7-8 months ago, yes.
Oh, and for people who don't know, there is no stage 5. Like, stage 4 is the last stage, correct?
I've never heard of stage five. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think stage five is they're lowering you into the ground.
Yeah, what the problem is, though, is the metastasization. Because once something metastasizes from one organ to the next, then they're looking at
jumping.
That's where they cannot do the other options they have, such as your radiations.
Right.
And so, surgeries. So that was, what, 8 months ago?
Pretty much.
Okay, you look really healthy for a dying guy. So what is your state right now?
Okay, well, I need to let everybody know before this, I also was on, I just got on disability a handful of years ago. I have stage 3 multiple sclerosis. So I'd already been practicing in the arts of marijuana for, you know, the illegal use just from my, you know, to make me feel better. Then we got the compassionate program, which, you know, everything's legal
now.
But I feel better now than I did before I even got diagnosed with cancer.
So wait a minute. Is your cancer in remission?
No. There's the thing. We talked to the doctor.
Wait, is your cancer gone?
It's gone completely.
They
will not say cure for 5 years. That's just a medical thing. Okay. But I went back and the doctor showed me the scans and the paperwork because I have scans that show that I was on palliative care because there was no curative intent. That's the doctor's right. orders. Go home. 6 months with a year without chemo. So I went home and did this cannabis oil treatment that we're going to talk about and started getting better immediately. I'm going to explain that to you.
Mm-hmm.
But this treatment, it took me from dead cancer to being completely healed. And then I asked my doctor, was I in remission? He told me no. He told me that I was completely cancer-free.
Wow.
And then
wow.
I threw the C word. Right? Am I cured? He said, we can't say that. You know, he goes, but we can offer you chemo in 3 months even though you're cured. To make sure it don't come back. And I said, does that cause a secondary cancer? He goes, yes. I said, well, why would I do that? Why would I do that?
So from the time you started your first treatment of cannabis oil to the time that you went to the doctor and he said you were cancer-free, how many weeks, months are we talking?
All right. The cancer treatment is only a three-month treatment. Okay. You have to do 60 grams of this oil in 90 days. But my insurance only pays for the scans every 6 months.
So
I had to wait till January to get a scan when I think I was pretty much cured in October.
Okay.
Wow.
I want to go back further than Haas. So you're at the doctor's and he says, we're going to do this chemo. We're going to do the, you know, radiation or whatever they diagnose, just chemo. Who brings up cannabis? Is it you that brings it up or is it the doctor?
Well, first of all, you got the shocker. You got to step outside of yourself, go outside with your wife, walk around.
I could only
digest
imagine.
It. You're going to die, you know, because you have a stage 4 cancer.
That's a death sentence.
My little brother, his name's Matt. He also suffers with multiple sclerosis. Is in a musical band.
Okay.
It's Past Master is the name of the band. It's a Granite City local band. But he played a function once over in St. Louis for a marijuana legalization group.
Okay.
And he met a gentleman named Mark Peterson, who's out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. And
which is where it's legal.
Right.
He runs a thing called the ESC Therapy Group. That's the Endocannabinoid Systems Therapy Group. And they educate people like a liaison between the doctors and dispensaries to get medical patients the medicines they need and how to educate them on how to use them.
So did you bring it up to your doctor or did he bring it up to you?
I did not tell my doctor. I got out of the hospital, was bleeding out of my chest for 3 weeks because I just couldn't heal.
Sure.
They wouldn't give me chemo right away because that would even make it worse.
Right.
So you started this cannabis oil on your own?
On my own. We jumped in a car and went to California right after I got out of the hospital for my heart surgery.
Wait a minute. So did you move your whole family to California? And why California? And why not here?
Well, there is. This medicines are in other states, but since it's so hard to find, even legal dispensaries are selling rip-off medicine that is diluted. It isn't right. what they say it is. And it's very expensive. So we went to where we knew this gentleman, Mark Peterson, told us how to make it, first of all. And then he told us where to get the right medicine until we could get to him in Colorado. And that's when he showed me how to actually make this medicine, which I've made videos on.
Okay. Wow. So, okay.
So you're basically having to do this on your own. You're not going
Pretty
to someone
much.
And buying the treatment.
Anyone who has cancer that wants to try to save their life has to become some sort of an outlaw to break a law to be able to get this medicine that is so easily obtainable you could grow it in your yard.
So why can you just smoke a joint and is it the same thing or does this oil have other things in it?
Okay, the cancer.gov's website says that tetrahydrocannabinol delta 9, which is THC-9, kills tumors. But it has to be ingested so your liver is what processes the decarboxylation of the medicine and makes the medicine work. If you smoke marijuana, they have a THCA component, which when fire hits it, converts the THC and goes directly to your brain and makes you high. Smoking and eating are two different complete things.
Interesting.
Okay.
Could now, you said smoking it and eating it. I'm assuming it's different than eating like a weed brownie.
Oh, completely. A weed brownie is a small dose. You know, that would be like smoking some cannabis and getting a buzz.
Right.
The oil is a very high concentrated THC oil that has to be ingested almost the size of grains of rice because it's so potent. Yes. But you have to build a tolerance to be able to take the medication because this treatment is a commitment. It's a 3-month commitment to get better.
Okay. And so when you went out to California, was it just you and your wife that went or did you go on your own? Because I imagine you have jobs. You'd have jobs here and kids are in school and... And
okay, the wife had to quit her job. Why? I'm on Medicare. And that means they pay 80%. You got to have a copay, you know, a secondary insurance. I didn't have one.
Right.
So they told my wife that if she quit her job, and she's in her PhD program right now, she's studying...
something smart.
Yeah, something really smart. My wife, she's amazing. But she had to quit her job, and then had to take me to California all on, you know, we started a GoFundMe page, borrowed money. But sure. In order to get the second, when you're dying of cancer, first of all, they don't bill you. Because
yeah, you're not
if
be
you need a $10,000 a month treatment, they're not going to bill you for those because when you die, you're not going to pay them. So they tell you, if you can't get this arranged to pay these treatments, either coverage or cash, we will not treat you.
It's
so
all up front.
She quit her job and Medicaid picked up the rest, which is the state. But there's still so many co-pays and other things. Cancer is very expensive regardless of your coverage. There's still a lot of expenses.
That's a whole other discussion.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So you get to California and you start taking this oil. Is it something that you, I mean, I don't mean to be dumb, but do you rub it behind your ears? Do you drop it in your mouth? Do you, you know, rub it on your temples? How does it get in your body?
I'm going to put it in perspective. If you have, like, you know, just a cannabis joint, you smoke that, it's going to get a handful of people, you know, really, really feeling good. It's going to get high. But to make this medicine, you need like a whole pound of marijuana to make even just a small bit of this oil. So that's very concentrated.
Oh, okay.
Very
concentrated. Wow. So it's probably expensive then.
To make it yourself, to try to buy the supplies and the cannabis from a dispensary would cost about $7,000.
And is that what you did? Did you buy the supplies?
We went to California and we was able to find it out there. A treatment was $3,000. So we went ahead and bought it.
Is that for the whole 3 month cycle?
That's the whole treatment, yes.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, if you could grow this plant in your yard, which is the exact same plants they're selling you,
right?
You can make this whole treatment for $200.
Wow.
Save your life from cancer for $200.
Wow.
And that's just the price of having the other components to go with it, you know.
Okay. And so at what point did you start really thinking that this was working?
Within days. My mouth was bleeding from the chemos. And as soon as we
that's
got
what
the,
I was going to ask is chemotherapy is absolutely horrible. And so did this cannabis oil help you?
The only symptoms I had after I started taking it was I gained 12 pounds, didn't lose any hair.
Got really hungry.
I had morning nausea, and I had an eating problem because I already had MS, which was messing with my eating. Now I ain't got no appetite. So I lived literally on cheeseburgers and ramen noodles for 6 months.
That sounds like college.
And smoked two packs of cigarettes a day and cured my cancer. I am just now quitting smoking.
Good for you.
They told me I was going to die. Why would I have quit smoking? I enjoyed it.
Sure.
Right.
But I smoked two packs a day the whole time I took this oil, and my cancer went away.
I mean, you've been given a second chance at life, so take it. And you know, are you still quitting, or have you already quit smoking?
I am working on it very hard. It's hard.
Have you quit before?
No, it's the first time ever in my life.
So let me tell you, as a former smoker and as someone whose dad passed away from throat and lung cancer, if you can get through the first 3 days, you can do it. The first 3 days are the hardest to get through, and then you can do it, and it will change your life. It's so bad for you, and you know that. You know that. But the reason that I'm so passionate about it is because my dad didn't get a second chance, and we know how crazy cancer is. Yeah. My dad was diagnosed with throat cancer, and they told him that he had an 80% chance of survival, and he was gone in 10 months.
Wow.
Nothing worked. We took him to the best doctors, and at some point in his treatment, my aunt Judy and Uncle Van made a joke about, we need to get you cannabis, because he had horrible reactions to the chemotherapy. He didn't eat for like 40 days. They were going to give him a feeding tube, all these things, and we kind of joked about it, and we never actually went. And they even said, you can put it in a humidifier, we can do this, we can do that, and we joked about it and moved on. And it just makes me think, like, what if we really would have. And so because my dad didn't get a second chance, you know, I want you to take that. I want you to quit smoking for your kids, and I want you to stay healthy. But I want to hear more about how you are bringing this and making it available to people in our area.
Yeah. First of all, this is a class one scheduled drug. The government says it has no medical value.
Marijuana.
But they've been giving out in marijuana made pills to cancer patients for years for nausea.
Sure.
On top of that, they've been giving away cannabis to smoke for years. You can research this. Okay?
Right.
And they own the patent, supposedly, on its medical effects, even though you can't patent a plant.
Right.
And the Mayo Clinic just recently released a big list of every dosage for all these, you know, hundreds of ailments that it actually fixes. So I'm just wondering how long it's going to take the federal government to declassify it off Schedule 1, because it does have medical use.
I think it will. I've said for years, just watching the social climate of America change, that there's two big, and they're very much different, but there's two big taboos, I think, in this country and society. And the first is the way we view, I'm not going to say all drugs, but certain drugs like marijuana. and the other one in a completely different way, and they're really more moral than anything else is prostitution.
Yeah. You could do a whole show on how marijuana got illegal to begin with.
Absolutely.
If you look back, it is insane crazy. We let it happen.
Yep.
It's kind of like, you know, it's watching the rich get rich. It's
and
insane.
We need to have that prostitution conversation sometime. Cause I think yeah. you would be surprised at my stance on that as well. But
I think that before my time on this earth is done, I think that...
Smoke weed with a prostitute?
Well, done.
I mean, let's check that off the list. I think both are legal in this country.
Well, you firmly, you know... I admire doctors and science, but I also just love talking to real people and getting real stories. So you know, Darren, in your heart, you believe that this cannabis oil, along with the chemo, is what cured you.
Well, you can look at the thousands of testimonies that are coming out right now. There's people everywhere doing this. There's people curing skin cancer. There's people who have leukemia who have getting better. There's people that's helping with their diabetes, multiple sclerosis, yeah. Crohn's disease. The list goes on and on. It's ridiculous. But do I think it worked? People say, did the cannabis cure you or did the chemo? I did them both because that's all they offered me.
Sure.
You know, and if they'd offered me surgery and radiation at that time, I'd have done everything I could have done. But when they tell me I'm going to die and they're going to give you 6 more months with chemo, I took it. And like I said, I was bleeding from the mouth when I first got sick. Ugh. I took the cannabis oil. Within days, it stopped. Then the hands and feet started healing up.
Yeah.
Then I started getting to where I just didn't feel sick. I felt like I had the flu for about 3 or 4 months. And that's how my chemo experience was of dying from cancer. I had to get over the flu.
Yeah.
And it was easy to do with cannabis. It was because, let alone did it not help me feel better, I knew it was working because the areas of my body where my cancer was, when I ate the cannabis oil, it was burning and it was hurting. And I was thinking, since I don't get a PET scan for 6 more months, what in the hell is going on in here?
Right.
And, everybody
we help with this oil says their area of cancer hurts. Well, it's proven fact now that it's in there killing cancer because it's gone.
Right.
I just can't believe that I'm looking at someone who was given a complete death sentence, yeah. you know, 8 months ago.
Yeah, that's insane.
And you're in there rolling around on the floor with my pig. You know, I mean, right. you don't look, I mean.
The viewers, the listeners know about the pig?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, okay. Piggy Smalls is pretty famous, I would have to say.
I'm pleasantly surprised. I am.
Well, so tell me a little bit about the Compassionate Cannabis Project that's going on in Collinsville. What's going on there? And more importantly, what can someone who has just been diagnosed with cancer, who has questions about this, how can they get a hold of you or get a hold of somebody who will help them? And Gary, I'm going to have you write this down because I want to make sure that we get this up at kellymano.com later today. So go ahead and tell the people a little bit about what's going on in Collinsville and how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, first of all, you get a cancer diagnosis, and me and my wife, we have messengers on our Facebook. Hundreds a night where we sit for hours at a time and try to answer everybody's help, you know, their calls and their needs and their suffering, people everywhere. And they ask me, Darren, how can I get this oil? Can I go to the doctor? I say, no, a doctor will not prescribe the oil. He will prescribe you, in Illinois, in certain places, a cannabis card. But all that gives you access to is some edibles and a few smokables.
And again, if it's not prepared properly, it's not helping you the right way.
Yes, and the guy who invented this process said, you need to get a hold of cannabis and make it yourself so you know what you're getting. Because if you're dying, you got one shot. You're going to spend your life savings on one thing that ain't going to work?
Sure.
Absolutely not. So I tell people, you have to do what we did because you have to break the law in some way to do this. You have to leave the state and go somewhere where at least I know has the legal good medicine, follow their laws, become a resident, and then purchase the medicine. And then at that point, it's in your hands. It's up to you to do what you want to with it. You can stay in California and take it, or you can just go home with it.
Is Colorado the closest place?
Well, Colorado has a recreational side and a medical.
Okay.
To get this real medicine on the medical side, you have to actually physically live in that state. It's hard
to
bend the rules. I don't know the rules. I just know that there's some loopholes in California where you can be resident and get your medicine there very quickly.
Okay.
Not like Illinois,
yeah,
where it takes months to get your car
so
here.
In a lot of instances, they're going to have to pick up and relocate.
Yeah.
Or just have send a loved one there to live in a short amount of time. Most people are in, and this is the way it is. That's why I told you the laws need to be changed, you know, because you shouldn't have to break the law to get help.
No.
They're going
right.
out there getting their medicine, and they're coming home with it and hoping they don't get pulled over.
Sure.
And then once they're home with their medicine, of course, they stay at home and they take their cannabis oil. It's a regimen. You put it in pills and put it in your food and eat it.
Right.
You stay home and take it until you start getting better. And it doesn't work for everybody. if you have like a breast cancer, you need a certain kind of oil. If you have a, you know, it's specific.
Interesting. So there's different oils for different types of cancer. It's not just this cures all.
Well, there's oils for cancer as well as for epilepsy, which is a high CBD oil, and they can actually grow the component of the THC out. It's called Charlotte's Web. You can research that. And it stops seizures. It's for children. Wow. It's unbelievable.
And so who did you go see in California? Who, if somebody wants to go rogue like you did, who did you go see?
Well, first of all, the doctors in California are all walk-in doctors. They're like 420 doctors. You walk in up the street with your ailment, and you have to be able to prove residency. Now, there's different shops have different ways you have to call them. But once you can prove residency there and get you a cannabis card, then it's a matter of just walking into any dispensary in the area and then starting the search for this correct oil. You know, it's a very high THC oil, and if you don't know what you're looking for, you might be buying the wrong stuff.
Is there a website that has a lot of this information on it that people can go to?
I would say just go to YouTube or Facebook and look for Rick Simpson.
Rick Simpson.
Rick Simpson. His name is RSO Oil is the product, and it's named after him.
I'm sorry, what was the name of the product again?
RSO Oil.
RSO Oil, Rick Simpson.
Or Phoenix Tears. It's another name for this medicine.
I would just call myself the weed man.
There already is one. Yeah.
Your story is incredible, and I'm so glad that we had you on, and I hope that you keep spreading your message because there's something there. You know, I'm not a doctor, you know, and I'm sure you'll be the first to admit that there's a lot of people, you know, that know a lot more than you, but all you know is your own story.
That's right.
Yeah, I had a woman tell me shortly before we go here that she started taking the oils that we helped her obtain, and she was on hospice, and she just texted not too long ago and said, the wheelchair and the walker are in the closet.
That's great, man.
I need my daughter to come over because I need to go to the bank and figure out my finances. She didn't feel like she's dying anymore. So we're going to, you know, keep up with her. She's improving.
It's basically up to each family to do their own research and find their way to get their hands on this no matter what it takes.
And you got to realize it doesn't help everybody, but whenever you're dealing with a substance that has never, ever killed anyone in the world, no matter how they've used
you
got to realize that it's worth a shot when you're dying, you know, and the government shouldn't be able to stop you at all from doing something that simple.
I agree.
You know? I'm so glad we had you in. We're going to put a link up to the article that the newspaper did. We're going to take a picture with you. We are going to put the name of your doctor on there, or not your doctor, the weed man. Is that what we called him? So thank you so much for being on the show. And so we'll be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
The Kelly Mano Show.
All right. So Darren was amazing. How fun was that interview?
That was really awesome.
Cool.
I think he's onto something. What if the government has known all along that that's what helps cancer, and that's why they keep it illegal, because they want to keep killing us?
Well, I mean, there's the old joke that there's no money in curing things, there's money in treating them.
Exactly.
You would like to believe that your government is not going to withhold stuff like that from you. I 100% think they do know.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind, with the amount of scientists and things like that that we have over the years, the government knows. 100%.
And I think, you know, Darren's answer was not, hey, here's this website where you can buy it. It was like, hey, you got to blaze your own trail.
Yeah.
You've got to go rogue like I did. And I know so many people that would be willing to do it.
Sure.
But knowing, and then talking to him off the air, he had some fantastic stories of other survivors who have gone through this as well. And crazy stuff. So, thanks, Darren Miller, for stopping by. Thank you, Hoss and Gary, for hanging out today.
Thank you.
If you want to email the show, it's heykelly@kellymano.com. Don't forget, if you're listening to us on iTunes, don't forget to rate the show and review the show.
Please.
Hoss, were you the one that wrote Hoss is awesome?
No.
Somebody wrote Hoss is awesome. You have another stalker.
Do I have any stalkers yet?
Not yet. Sorry. But it really does matter. If you like the show, share the show on Facebook. If you like the show, rate the show on iTunes. Of course it was. I told you to put that. But anyway, two shows this week. Woo!
Yay!
Another show is going to be here on Thursday morning. We love you guys for listening. Be good, have fun, stay sassy, classy, and a little bit smart-assy. Kelly Mano loves you. See ya!
She's a power girl. She's a da 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 da. Come on, fellas, place your bets, 'cause you ain't seen nothing yet. She's the top of the town, she's the best. Yes, scary.
Thank you very much.